Well, greetings this morning. Welcome to Joy Christian Fellowship. A special welcome to the visitors. Thanks for coming out. Pray that the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would meet with you here this morning. So we will continue our journey through Ephesians. I kind of find it amazing how that our journey through Ephesians seems to connect with other themes that we are going through as a congregation, whether it's the Bible study or for us at Lyft yesterday. There was a strong emphasis on sexual sins there yesterday, and the part that we want to look at in Ephesians here today is about some sexual sins. So I just find that interesting. How does that correlate? Is that a coincidence? Is the Lord trying to talk to us? Maybe it's both. But I do trust that I do trust that, like was mentioned here this morning in our Sunday school lesson, that our minds would be changed and that we would know and understand the ways of the Lord and how to deal with sexuality. We are sexual beings, and we don't need to be ashamed or shy of that, but we need to honor God in it. And so, trusting that the Lord will teach and guide us here today by His Word. And just a little bit of thought into that too, though. Often when we as humans err in the way we look at or think about sexuality, it's because we've been deceived or we believed a lie. And that's why we end up erring. So, what an opportunity to lift up the word of truth, to lift up the word of God, so that we could know our ways, and if we're not lining up to it, we can adjust them, we can repent, and we can get lined up with the Lord, and we can have His Holy Spirit and His blessing on our lives, even in our sexuality. Please stand with me, and we will read the portions of Scripture that I hope to be looking at here this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, the goal is to get all the way to verse 20, so we'll be reading 1 through 20. So I invite you to turn your Scriptures and follow along and think about what the themes are here, as we hope to look at different thoughts and themes here. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ has also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." I think he's referring to with those people who are fornicators and whoremongers and unclean persons and covetousness and idolaters. Don't partake with them. Verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Verse 10, "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, even in our sexuality. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Lord, we thank you for your word here this morning. I pray that you would come by your Holy Spirit, deliver the truth to our hearts, to our minds, so that we can know what it is to walk in the Spirit. If there are people here that have gathered that need to be renewed in their mind and the way they think, Lord, do it by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would show us how to live as human beings in all purity and holiness. Teach us your word. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So the title of the message this morning is Walk as Children of Light. Walk as Children of Light. If I could add it to the title, I would also add this to the title. And it goes like this: to expel the darkness. So walk as children of light. Why? For what purpose? To expel the darkness. Whether that's in my life, walk as children in the light. Whether that's in my own life, to expel the darkness in my own life. Or even, as we will see later on, or even expel the darkness in the sinners. To those that have erred, to those that are deceived, to those that are not walking in the ways of the Lord. Walk as children of light to expel the darkness. And I think we all know this, that the only way that we can be children of light is because we are in communion, we are relating, we are connected to the Holy Spirit, we are connected to the ultimate light, and that is Jesus Christ. I appreciated the theme of the singing this morning. It was Jesus Christ. He is the light of life. And so the only way we can be children of light is if we have that connection with Him, which we'll get into that a little bit more about being followers and imitators. But for now, I think what I'd like to do is try and break it up in a little bit of a sections. So right now, I would like to focus on some of the darkness that's described here in this passage, what the children of darkness involve themselves in, or part of what darkness is. We'll just go through that, and then I would like to describe what it looks like to be children of light. So the warnings of what not to do If we're going to be children of light, this can't be a part of our this can't be part of our current life. It can be part of our story. I had to think about, you know, my own journey. I certainly wasn't a man of purity through my years of not being born again, and so it can be part of our story. But as being children of light, it should not be a part of our story. It should not be an ongoing thing. It needs to be repented of. There needs to be a change of mind. If we're going to be children of light, we need a change of mind about this. So, verse 3. We're going to jump in here in verse 3, and this is describing the darkness. But fornication, that means sexual interaction outside of marriage. And all uncleanness, and that means all sexual immorality. I mean, you can it's immoral thoughts, immoral actions. One commentator said it like this. Sorry, let me find it here. It's uncleanness. Takes in adultery, incest, sodomy, every unnatural lust, covetousness. So uncleanness describes just that whole immoral aspects of our humanity. And covetousness. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. So if we're in our journey of becoming a saint, if we're in our journey of walking as children of light, these things should not be a part of our ongoing journey. Praise God! We can repent of those things, we can change, and we can become children of light. I want there to be hope in these messages. Verse 4, neither filthiness, and I think that is continuing to describe just how deprived our minds can be in just the corruption and the, so neither filthiness, nor foolishness, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So there we see, if we're going to be children of light, these things should not be part of our ongoing story. Just a little description of jesting. In the Greek, it uses, I won't even try and pronounce that word, but I found that interesting that the word jesting isn't anywhere else in the New Testament. It's only in this passage. But it's implying strictly to the without regard for principle. I think it's in our talking. It's without regard to godly principle, to good principle. It's jesting. It's light. It's fluffy. It's joking. And so that's the way I understood it. That's what another commentary said. The shifting circumstances of the moment, the varying moods of those with whom it may deal with. So it's, I guess I look at jesting maybe being, maybe the opposite of being sober-minded, to be principally-minded, to jesting maybe, like here it's suggesting that it kind of shifting circumstances of the moment and the moods, you know, you kind of just get caught up in whatever. And I think as children of light, I think we have to be cautious of how free we just let ourselves go with the mood. So I just want to encourage us. And we'll get into that, but for the sake of context here, verse 10 would help with our jesting problem. And that would be, prove what is acceptable to the Lord. Verse 10 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And so, let's just be cautious about how involved we get, how much we let our mood swing us, how free we are with jesting, foolish talking, because we want to be children of light. Because we are children of light, we are becoming saints. We are becoming men and women with principle. We value holiness. We value righteousness. We are being renewed in our minds. We are renewed in the spirit of our minds because the Holy Spirit is working in us. And so we don't continue to just walk in the lust of the flesh. We bring them into check. We don't just freely continue to walk on however we wish. We are following the Lord Jesus. The other thing that the children of darkness the other thing that is described here is idolatry. I think, yeah, it's there in verse 5. The reason, I guess the sense that I got out of why it's here, it says it this way in verse 5, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." And the way I understand this to be that when we are covetous, when we are looking to fulfill that we're looking to fill that void in our hearts that only God can fill. And if we choose, whether it's sexual satisfaction or the lust of what our neighbors have or whatever those things are, if we have chosen to put that as the thing that drives us, the thing that navigates the way we think and feel, whatever it is, the reason we can't be a part of the kingdom of God when I'm an idolater is because I have something else on the throne room of my heart. And so that's why it's very cautious. I think that's why Paul is telling the church at Ephesus, you can't be a lustful man. You can't be a covetous man and be a part of the kingdom of God because you have something greater in your heart than God and His Word. So again, we don't want to be idolaters. We don't want to be covetous. And I wish I could understand a little bit more what Paul is thinking and sensing here, you know, why he's putting fornication and covetousness together. Like, it feels to me like there's a good sense of, like, he's trying to tie them together. And I think the more I thought about it, I got the sense that, well, really, does it really matter whether I'm lusting after a thing that I can't have, or whether I'm lusting after a woman that's not mine, both are idolatry. And I think that's why he's tying it together, is because we are placing things ahead of God. We need to rethink about what's important in life. We need to understand that the woman, the thing, the whatever, God needs to take that place. God is the one that's meant for that place in our hearts, not the person, not the thing. God's meant to take that place. And when he takes that place, then we can be children of light. We can be coming like saints because God takes that place. The other thing that we want to be careful about, and that is found in verse 15. It says it this way, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And also in verse 18, "Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess." So those are a few things that I feel like if we're going to be children of light, they should not be named among us based on Ephesians chapter 5. And there's probably more that could be added to this list, but as for the sake of this time this morning, we're just bringing these things out that Paul is trying to address to the church at Ephesus. If we're going to be children of light, this may be a part of our story in the past, but it needs to be repented of. And we need to walk in newness of life. We need to walk in renewing of our mind. And not as fools. Fools, I think that kind of comes back to, fools don't think ahead. Fools don't think about principle base. Fools just do what feels good. Whatever's in the moment. Let us be children of light. So now I'd like to shift a little bit and we heard it, for those that were at LIFT yesterday, I think we heard it quite a bit, you know, about we need a change of mind, and those that were in the Sunday school class here this morning, we heard it again. We need to have a change of mind. We can't be deceived. We can't be listening to lies. And so let's just look at that a little bit here in verse 6. It says it this way, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." And so here this morning, we open up the scriptures, we read what God is calling us to do, to know how to think, and so you don't have to be deceived here this morning. The word of God came to you that fornicators and idolaters and covetous people, and you don't have to be deceived here this morning. You don't have to believe the lie anymore. Take the word for what it says. Walk as children of light. And if my preaching isn't enough, well then open up your own scripture and dig in, and you don't have to be deceived. And invite the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and say, "Lord, how do we deal with our sexuality? How do we live in this way, in a victorious way, so that we can be children of light?" Praise God, we don't have to be deceived. We don't have to believe a lie anymore. The light of truth is present. Jesus has a desire to commune with you. Jesus has a desire to, like he's, yeah. We don't have to be deceived, but we will have to wrestle with our desires, our lust, our drives. We will have to wrestle with them. That is the warfare, brothers and sisters. We will have to wrestle with our drives, our lust, our... And we'll get to some solutions on how to do that. I don't think I ever understood how much is all in the context of the messages in the Bible. It's all there. It's not just like, it doesn't just throw something out and then just let you figure it out. It's all here. So let's get into that part. So don't be deceived. You don't need to be deceived here this morning. There is truth. And if you don't believe it in me, then deal with you and God. It's not about me. But it is about your eternal destiny. Children of light, don't walk in darkness. Don't walk in these things. So solutions. I have five solutions of how to not be deceived. Five solutions of how to be children walking in light. Five suggestions of how to overcome. Maybe even five suggestions of how to avoid, if that's all possible. I mean, a man after God's own heart like David falling into sin. Is my heart after God greater than David's was? I don't know. I mean, I haven't faced Goliath like David did. But there's hope. Through Jesus Christ, there's hope for us that we can walk through this life and get to the end of our day and see Him face to face and behold Him, and we can communicate Him. And we will bow our knee and worship Jesus Christ for salvation. Sorry, it's probably not making any sense to you. Not sure if it did to myself either. But let's get into these five different suggestions that we would like to look at. Paul recognized that if we don't understand and if we don't know and we don't have the comprehension of who and what Jesus has done for us, it's going to be harder to walk as a child of light, children of light. So he spent chapter 1, part of chapter 2, and part of chapter 3 describing that the church at Ephesus would know by experiencing the love of God and what He's done for us. And I think that would be, like, if we could get that here this morning, if that could be a reality, if that could have been David's most, like, if that could have been his forethought, when he's there in his balcony and he's worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ and he sees Bathsheba, if his thoughts would have been, wow, God, the day we went to face Goliath, you saved me that day. You were my victor that day. Would have that changed his approach? The days when I'm not responding with grace and mercy to those around me is the day that I'm forgetting of the grace and mercy that's been showed to me. We place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. Sorry, don't follow my singing. But you get the theme, you get the thought, you get the theme. If Christ is first and foremost. We are lovers. And if we don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we don't worship Him as being that great high priest, we are opening ourselves up. We're walking on thin ice. But when we can put Him at that highest place, like Phil Hirschberger said, that men everywhere would lift up holy hands and worship and praise God. There's power in that, brothers and sisters. And so I, like Paul, just wish that we would never forget. Oh, that we would continue to remind each other of the victory that Jesus has won for us, the salvation that He has given to us. Brothers and sisters, I was an immoral, unclean person, but I have been saved. Have you been saved? Are you reminded of that? Maybe we should remind ourselves a little bit more of that. Or maybe we should be open and confess our faults one to another that, wow, I really struggled this week. And I need Jesus to cleanse my heart and see that blood flowing through us. And then a year later, you ask how that brother's doing. And yeah, I'm finding the victory. Praise the Lord! Let's not forget, that we would know and understand the love of God, which passes all understanding, if we would have that in our hearts and our minds on a daily basis. It will change who we are. So, verse 1 out of chapter 5, be followers, be lovers, be imitators, followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Walk in love. I think I get that to be three parts. It says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. I want to encourage us, first of all, love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your... No, I'm sorry. First is, recognize the love that God has for you. And walk in that. Just walk in the love that God has given for you. You are a sinner, but you have been saved with grace. But I'm walking with that. I walk in love that Jesus loves me. This I know. The Bible tells me so. I'm walking in that love. Boy, if we would just walk around with that in reality. Jesus loves me. He saved me. He took my sins away, that I could not change it. I just live my life. I'm walking around, walking in love. That would change a lot. The second would change us a lot more or as much. And that is to love Him back. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Oh, I had a debt that I couldn't pay. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Oh, here I am. I surrender my life to you. Oh, Lord, I love you. Here I am. I surrender myself to you. And you walk around in love. Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus, I love you. Sorry, sound evangelical here, but excuse me. But do you get the thought? Do you get the heart? Walking in love. And the impact that that will do to our hearts. If we walk in that love. Like Paul and his passion. Oh, that you would know the love of God. Oh, that you would walk in it. You would walk in it. You would live in it. Jason, live in that. Be that your reality. Not just here in the Sunday morning. Not just as you're preaching. Walking in that love. The third, walking in that love. We share that love to others. It will change us. We won't be a fornicator if we love our neighbor as ourselves. We won't be a covetous person if we love our neighbors ourselves. Do you see how the reality of walking in love changes who we are? But first it needs to come to the recognition that the knowledge of the Lord, that you would know and understand the love of God which changes us. That could become a reality. And walk in that. And then your love back to Him. And then your love to others. Huge impact on our lives. One suggestion, one solution of being, of helping us walk as children of light. Walk in love. Do we need any more? I mean, that's the gospel, right? That's the gospel. Jesus loved me. When I was in that miry pit and couldn't get out, Jesus said, I forgive you. Why did I come up with four more? I guess because Paul did. Well, let's see let's dig in here. Next one. First suggestion, walk in love. The second is separation. You'll see that in verses 7 and 11. That doesn't look right. Oh, wrong chapter. Let me try again. Verse 7. So here I'm thinking, suggesting separation, and Paul is too. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. And that is describing the fornicators, the uncleanness, covetous, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, covetous man, unclean, whoremonger. Verse 7, it says, so don't be partakers with them. And so a second solution of walking as children of light is separate yourself from these kind of people. Verse 11 says it this way, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So if we want to be as children of light, we also need to separate ourselves from sinful men. And it's not just the separation part. I feel like it's more about joining in with them, fellowshipping with them, being okay with them, high-fiving them. You know, it's that kind of interaction. Paul is asking us, Paul is challenging us, the Word of God is challenging us. No, don't relate to those kind of sinners at that level. I think there's some caution there that we should be rather reproving their sinful actions. Loving the sinner, Jesus loves the sinner, but he reproves the sin. So, I guess this is Jason speaking, like if you hang out with those kind of people, what's gonna keep you from either believing the lie that they're believing or joining in and doing what they're doing, whether it's drinking or whether it's, let's just not do that. There's something good and righteous about separation, but let's also learn how to do it redemptively, to invite sinners out of that lifestyle. And I'm not sure if I have the time here this morning to describe that, but I hope you hear my heart on I think I'm just going to mention it here. But if you really struggle with if you struggle with keeping your body under subjection and you're struggling with that, and well, you really need to be separating yourself. Like, get out of there. Like, don't hang out with people that even talk about that kind of stuff. Get out of there. Don't watch movies that suggest that. Just get out of there. Run! Flee! Why? Because I want to be a child of light. I want to be a saint. Run, okay? Separate yourself. Maybe there's a day when you can find that victory And you can go back and you can witness to them. You can. There's time for that, but. Okay, did that, where are we at? Separating, okay. Don't fellowship with them. Or get out of there if you can't keep your desires in check. Another suggestion. So the first one was walk in love. The second one is separate yourself from darkness, those that deal with that. The third one is, you'll find that in verse 10, 11, 12, and 13. The third one is prove and reprove. Prove and reprove. Third suggestion of how to walk victorious in as children of light. First, we need to prove what is acceptable to the Lord. So that means we need to, all the thoughts, all the way we look at sexuality needs to be proven to the Lord. How to think about covetousness, that needs to be proven. How does the Lord think about this? Lord, teach me. What does it look like? How do I live this out? So we need to prove what is acceptable to the Lord. In verse 10, it says, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Let's just go back to the Sunday school lesson. If David would have just stopped and ran his plan and his thoughts through, like, proving it to the Lord, would have that put a check in his heart? I think so. Like he would have proved, is what I'm thinking, is the steps that I'm taking, is this going to get me to where I want to go? And so as I was thinking about David's story and his journey, and I think it was mentioned here, he wasn't in the action fighting mode. He was in the relaxed mode. And so I just want to challenge us. See, proving puts us in that offensive, like we gotta test this. Is this sound doctrine? Is this scriptural? Are the thoughts that I'm thinking, is God honored through the way this is thinking? And so we engage. We're not sitting back. We're being active. Active Christians walk as children of light. Active Christians prove what is the way of the Lord. And the second, active Christians reprove darkness. Active Christians say, hey, that's a lie. That's not the word of God. No. You are, that's a wrong thought. That does not line up with the word of God. And I feel like if we can engage with our Christianity at that level, we can be children of light. We won't be deceived. So if we're proving everything with the word of the Lord, we have no fear of being deceived, right? So test the spirits. Prove, is this really God's principle? And verse 13, I'm sorry, verse 11, it says, but rather reprove them, reprove the works of darkness. And verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. So if we're going to be children of light, guess what? We're going to be going around. Can I say it that way? Lord, what do you want me to say? Because we're salt. We're salt and we're light. So as children of light, we're going to be going around and... Oops. Is light shining in you? Oh, I see darkness. But remember, Yeah, but that's part of reproving, right? But it's done in love. Does Jesus reprove me? Does Jesus shine his light on me? And when he does, did Nathan shine the light on David? Did it bring forth the works of righteousness? And David was able to repent, and it brought forth light. Didn't take away all the things. It's not fun. It's not fun being that light. It's not fun reproving sin. But brothers and sisters, if we want to be children of light, that's just part of it. I mean, the sun can't help but shine, right? If we're going to be children of light, we just can't help but being light. And I think I want to encourage us. Walk in love. Walk in love. Recognizing that I have areas where I need to be reproved. We walk in that love and we walk in that humility. And I don't think we need to be ashamed of walking around as being lights and letting our light shine in other people's lives. And I think we can be like little Jesus. I think that's what we're called to be, children of light. We reprove the darkness. Number four. Again, number one was walk in love. Number two is separation. Number three is prove and reprove. And number four is be careful how you live and redeem the time. And you'll find that in verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. So if we're going to be Christians that walk in light, we're going to be mindful of the time that we have here on earth. And we're going to try and redeem what we can from the time to invest in good ways. So children of light, redeem the time. One version of this says it this way: therefore, be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Verse 16, it says, taking advantage of every opportunity because the days are evil. See, the foolish don't really think about that. In verse 17, for this reason, do not be foolish, but be wise by understanding what the Lord's will is. So it comes back to part of that proving. Is this acceptable how to spend my time? Is this the right way to be thinking about what I'm doing? We run that through our minds, and if it's not, then we redeem it and we change it. So be careful. Children of light are careful how they spend their time, recognizing that they're here for a greater purpose. They're here for, first of all, for God, and second, for others. Number five is be filled with the Spirit and edify one another. As children of light, we're going to get together. We're going to be filled with the Spirit, starting in verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit, and then we're going to get together in community life. And we're going to, in verse 19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So another suggestion or another solution of how to walk in light to expel the darkness. Remember that we are walking in light to expel the darkness. And so another thing that we can do as Christians and as walking in light is we speak to ourselves. We speak to others. We speak, he says, speaking to yourselves. Selves, not speak to yourself. it's speak to yourselves. He's referring to community here. So we get together and we speak psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and we sing together, and we rebuke each other, we reprove each other, we encourage each other, we edify each other, we build each other up, we shine each other's lights around. You know, we're all in the light, and we're all going to just, the goal is to get brighter, so we're just going to, and we're going to just shine around here, and we're going to walk in love, and we're going to have grace for one another, and I'm really painting an ideal picture, aren't I? But by God's grace and by God's strength, He's inviting us to be children of light. And this is how it's done. We encourage each other. We edify each other. When there's darkness, we reprove in love. We rebuke. It's all part of Scripture, brothers and sisters. And if we're going to want to be bright Christians in this day and age, I think we're going to have to start exercising these things. Again, did anybody make a note of the five that I shared? Can anybody give me the list? Just one? Somebody over here? Somebody have the list? Can somebody name them? Be followers, walking in love, yep. Imitators. Separation, yep. Yep. Be careful how you live, redeem the time, yep. Filled with the Spirit, and get together and sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So those are my suggestions of, if we want to be children of light, let's exercise those things. I think it'll help us. I think it'll help us in those moments of temptation, whether it's sexual sins, covetousness sins, or selfishness, or whatever. I feel like there are some tools in our Christian toolbox to help us on Wednesday afternoon or 2:30 a.m. Who knows what you're doing, but I don't know what time David fell into sin, but sin is ever before us. That temptation, that is the battle, brothers and sisters. We have to bring our lust into subjection. And the best way I know how to, the best way I've discovered, there are maybe other ways that you could share with, but the best way I've discovered is walk in love and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you need to get out of there, get out of there. And you need to redeem the time. And the other thing that I really want to encourage is us, brothers and sisters, let's learn how to reprove the darkness that is among us. And I'm not sure how to do that sometimes when I'm sitting there watching a film, and that's against the word of the Lord. How do we do that? How do we do that healthily? Lord, help us. We want to reprove. We want to be men and women of light. Lord, teach us how to live this out. And Jesus' request to the church at Ephesus, come back to your first love. And I just want to leave that again with you. Come back to your first love. Walk in that first love. Walk in love. Walk in love. So I just want to encourage you, walk in that love Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Just walk in that love. And then when you get together here, walk in that love and let's get together. Let's praise. Let's worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, you and I were sinners, but He cleansed us and He made us whole. And let's shine that light in a loving way to each other, build each other up. Just want to open myself up to you. If you see dark spots in my life, come. Come shine your light on me. I might groan a little bit at first, but I'll get over it, because our desire is that we want to be children of light. We want to be men and women of saints. Let's go for it, brothers and sisters. We have a God to glorify. Thank you for your time and attention, and trust that the Lord will guide you through this week. Thank you.